inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Marky, you were on the podcast a few months ago, and you talked about how you were getting ready to start a big rehab project. I wanted to check in with you. How have things been going?
Well, Dan, I can tell you that it's been a painstakingly long process. A lot of issues that I did not initially anticipate popped up, and I'm still dealing with some of them, but I think slowly but surely I've been able to kind of navigate through those problems, and the renovations are in the final stages, and I anticipate them being completed in the next few weeks.
So things are still going on. How long did you initially think this project was going to take?
It started in the first or second week of June, and it was supposed to finish in July. So it was about to be, it should have been about a month.
And how long has it been?
At this point, about 5, going on 6 months.
I think a lot of times when people look at a BRRRR project, they kind of assume that the best case is going to happen. But in Marky's case, he's gone way over budget, and it's taken way more time than he thought it would. So on the show today, we're going to figure out what went wrong and see what we can learn from Marky's experience. Joining us on the show today from Jersey City, New Jersey, is Marky Suazo. We'll take a really quick break. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Marky. It's a lot of work to find a really good rental property. And when you actually find that property, you want to make sure you're working with a lender that can get that loan closed. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of loan programs, and she can find something customized to you for your situation. If you want to find out more or you're ready to get started today, just go to RidgeLendingGroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, LendingGroup.com, NMLS 42056.
Rental Income Podcast.
Marky, it's been a while since you were on the podcast last. For anyone that maybe didn't hear your first interview or maybe needs a quick refresher, can you tell us about your current rental portfolio?
Yeah, of course, Dan. And thank you for having me back on. So for those that didn't hear the first episode, my current portfolio, it consists of two other investment properties that I have in Memphis, Tennessee. Those are two single families. I had a third one that I sold in 2020, and I used the proceeds from that sale to purchase a duplex in Pittsburgh, which is the subject of today's episode.
And you live in a pretty expensive area. You live just right outside New York City, so you're not able to buy locally because the numbers just don't work, right?
Correct. At the time I first started looking, I lived in Jersey City, which is in the New York City metropolitan area. Then I actually moved into New York in Queens, which is just as expensive, if not more, which is why I've always looked outside of the New York market for cash flowing properties.
And a few of the properties that you've bought have been turnkey rentals where everything's been done and you've just had to buy the property and close on it, right?
Correct. The first property I bought was entirely turnkey. I didn't have to do anything except sign the papers. The second property wasn't turnkey, but it was minimal renovations. And same thing with the third property. This last one in Pittsburgh has been the first property where one of the units of the duplex needed a full renovation.
Awesome. So you started off kind of simple with a turnkey rental where you didn't need to do anything. As you felt more comfortable, you started doing a little bit more work. And so this property that we're going to be talking about today, this was your first major rehab.
Correct.
Okay, so let's talk about it. So you've had some major things come up that you weren't counting on when you first started the property. So the first thing is that you've had some problems with the city. What exactly happened?
So basically, the property was initially zoned as a single family, even though when you walk the property, it's obviously a duplex. It has separate water, separate electric meters, separate entrances. And it's been marketed as a duplex. Had two tenants in it when I first purchased it, but it wasn't zoned as a single family. So I was able to correct that before I purchased it. But then it turns out it also needed a certificate of occupancy to be listed as a duplex, and it never had that on file. So I basically had to go back and forth with the city to try and resolve that. I tried to have them grandfather me the property in as a duplex because it's been a duplex for decades, and they were playing hardball and initially told me that I would have to get architectural drawings to basically put the layout that is currently in place and then see what work, if any, would have to be done in order to have it properly zoned and certified as a duplex to make sure that the building was up to code and everything. So all that's to say, it was quite the process and a lot of back and forth between myself and representatives of the city to try and resolve that issue.
Now, was the property, did it look like a duplex when you first bought it? Like, were there two, or was there a space where two tenants could live?
Yeah, so if you walk this property, anyone would swear it's a duplex. It has the main entrance to walk inside of the building, a common area, and then each unit has separate entrances. And there were two separate tenants in each unit. One was a one-bedroom, one-bath on the first floor, and then the second and third floor was a, I believe, four-bedroom, two-bath with its own separate entrance. And they each had separate back entrances to the outside, separate electricity meters. So it's separate HVAC systems. So this, for all intents and purposes, was a duplex. It's just, for whatever reason, there was never a certificate of occupancy on file, and it was zoned as a single family.
Now, I'm trying to think, how would I have dealt with this, or how could I avoid a similar problem that you've had to deal with? And I don't know, like, how you could have known that this wasn't legally a duplex, because it looks like a duplex. Looking back on it now, is there anything that you could have done before you bought the property to confirm that it was a duplex?
So I think on my part, what I would have done differently is I actually was able to find the zoning that it was zoned as a single family prior to making the purchase. And when I discussed that with the realtor, they were they assured me, and they actually did follow through with this and having it zoned properly as a duplex, converting it from a single family to a duplex zoning. However, there was a separate thing, the certificate of occupancy, which was never on file. That I wasn't aware of, and it could, I believe through public record searching, it could have been found. In hindsight, I think I should have used that as an additional negotiating tool to readjust the price or altogether.
Totally. So is that something that if someone's buying a duplex, maybe just call the city and confirm the zoning? Can you confirm it as simply as calling somebody? Or is it something where you're going to have to look in the land records or have someone look in the land records for you?
You can do both. You can call the city and have them confirm, or you can find the zoning online through yourself. It's a little bit of a cumbersome process, but it's certainly possible.
Okay, so that's just something good to keep in mind. I've never even heard of that or even thought of that coming up, but I mean, this is a real issue that held you back. Now, you've had some other stuff going on. So you had a delay with some materials coming in, like specifically the windows. You were going to replace the windows and you had a delay where you just couldn't get them in. What happened?
So essentially, one of the things that needed to be renovated were the windows of the property. I had my general contractor that was handling the renovation itself didn't do windows. So I had to find someone on my own. They recommended a few people, but I was able to find someone. And I signed the contract with them on June 28th, and the expected time was about 12 to 14 weeks. And that was across the board. I went through like four or five different vendors, and they all gave me similar time frames. I guess it just takes a really long time to get these windows because they have to be made custom. And however, after the 12 to 14 weeks, I'm contacting the window person, and it turns out the contractor was involved in a motorcycle accident, had to get surgery. So he was able to get the windows in, delivered, but he wasn't able to install them for some time. And that was back in September, October. More time goes by, and it's essentially been the same thing of delay after delay as to when he can put it in, because he was working with another contractor to try and get the windows installed. And at this point in time, after having several conversations with him and actually having gone down to Pittsburgh and speaking with him, was able to get a definitive date as to when the windows will be installed. And due to the delay, I actually renegotiated the initial contract. So he would take about a 35% or 40% reduction in the initial price that we had agreed on due to this delay.
Yeah, I mean, that's just really unfortunate, because that's really pushing back your timeline, because you can't rent the property out without replacing the windows, right? That's kind of a critical thing.
Exactly. And that was one of my main points when I was renegotiating the price, and why I told him I can't pay you what we agreed upon, because you gave me a time frame of X, and we're almost 2 months past that. So we were able to come to an agreement, and I have a definitive date as to when those windows will be installed.
Yeah, I mean, that's just frustrating. There's really nothing you can do. It's really out of your control.
Was very frustrating.
Contractor. Yeah, and it's that's something that, you have a time frame. You're trying to get this rehab done so you can start making money on this property, and this is just setting you back and costing you a lot of money.
Exactly.
Now, also, you had some problems getting some city inspections. Talk to me about that, about some of the delays that you had.
So this was specifically with the plumbing. This was a subcontractor hired by the general contractor. They were hired to do some plumbing work. In Pittsburgh, you have to go through the county to get the requisite permits once the work is done, in order for the city to give you the final okay. And what happened was, so basically the way Pittsburgh works is that they separate the properties into different zones, and each zone is assigned an inspector. And it just turns out that my property was in a zone where the inspector had either just retired or just quit. So that zone didn't have an inspector. So it was on a delay because of that. And then it turns out that the plumber, for whatever reason, was calling the incorrect number, or calling the general number and not getting anyone to answer to have an inspector go down there and schedule the inspection. To give you the time frame, I signed the plumbing contract around the end of June, first week of July. It was supposed to take 3 weeks tops. And they finished the work, and it was just a matter of having the inspector go down there. It was towards the end of September, October, and still no inspector had been sent down. So during that time, I was reaching out to the contractor, trying to figure out what's going on. Why is the delay happening? They tell me they're waiting on the plumber to get the inspection. A few weeks of getting that same response, I finally reach out to the plumber directly. They tell me that they've been contacting the city for months and nothing. And I finally decide to just contact the city myself. And through some, putting forth a little bit of elbow grease, I was able to get the correct number. And I called the supervisor of the inspectors and was able to get someone down there the very next day.
Wow. Now, let me ask you this. How much of this, percentage-wise, do you think you could chalk up to you being brand new to this and trying to figure everything out? How much of this is just bad luck? And how much of this is you not being local? That, because you don't have that face-to-face connection, that you're having to do this over the phone? Do you think that that plays into any of this, or do you think anybody would have had these same problems?
No, I think it's those were the three biggest things. The biggest one was me being new. Perfect example was the zoning, the certificate of occupancy. If I had had much more or a little more experience in Pittsburgh, I would have known more about that and would have handled that much differently to begin with. The second thing, not being local, There's a lot of delay in communication when I have to send an email or when I have to follow up with a phone call, call the contractor. Sometimes they might describe a problem to me over the phone or via email that if I could just see the problem, it'd be much easier to understand what's going on. And then some of it is just bad luck, like the fact that an inspector, the inspector for my zone just happened to retire at the time that I need someone down there. So I would say, just to give you, rough estimates, 60% of it is 60% of the issues was lack of experience. 30% of it was me not being local, and 10% was just bad luck.
So does that change your opinion? Like for your next property, would you enter into such a big rehab again? Or would you look for something that maybe just needs some paint and carpet, or maybe even something that doesn't need any work at all?
Correct. I think for the next property that I look to acquire, it's either turnkey or light renovation. Or if it's something that is a much more extensive renovation, something that's much closer, like a 1 or 2 hour drive, something like in upstate New York or something like that, because Pittsburgh from New York is about a 7 hour drive, much quicker flight, but that can get expensive if I'm going back and forth.
Sure.
So, answer your question. I think turnkey light renovation is what I'm going to be looking for going forward, unless I find, a much better deal when I'm closer.
Yeah. I mean, it's like doing the Burr strategy. It sounds exciting and it makes you feel like you're doing something, but things can go wrong and it doesn't always work out as perfectly as you plan it on your spreadsheet. So, I think this is just a good warning to anyone that's thinking about doing a Burr that you need to have some extra money to plan for stuff like this, to plan for the extra time. So like, how much extra money do you think this cost you just with the holding cost of having to pay for this vacant property to sit there?
Well, the holding cost, the mortgage, luckily it is a duplex and one of their units is rented. It's been covering a majority of the mortgage, even after property management fees and other fees. I'm losing about $100 a month paying the mortgage. The biggest expense has been the renovations themselves, which has gone much more over budget than I expected. And if I didn't have the cash reserves and the line of credit to cover these costs, I would have been dead in the water.
Yeah. So like, dollar wise, like how much do you estimate that you're over?
I would say a good 20, maybe 25,000.
Wow. And so that money, it's coming from a line of credit.
Correct.
Okay. That's good that you have that, because yeah, you're right. I mean, you would be in big trouble if you didn't have that. And I think also having the other side of the duplex rented out is also saving you. I mean, if you didn't have that, I mean, you would be in really big trouble, right?
Yeah, exactly. It would be losing a lot more money.
Yeah. All right. So then the other thing that that happened is you got the final invoice from your contractor and it was more than he had quoted initially.
Yeah. So the the problem with that was I got the scope of work with the estimate that, detailed all the work that was going to be done. And then as I said, this started in June. It had just finished mid-November around there. And throughout that time, according to the contractor, they did a lot of additional work that wasn't listed in the scope of work or the estimate, which is why it went over budget. And they try to justify it by saying it was for my benefit and they think that it'll make the unit rent for much better. And all that aside, my biggest issue is that all of these additional things were being done at an additional cost and no one ran it by me. No one asked for my approval. So they're essentially running up the bill and not getting approval from me. Hmm. So I told them that is obviously an issue and this estimate can't stand. And luckily they were willing to basically take the loss on their end on that and honor the original estimate that they gave to me.
So do you think anything good has come out of this? Like, have you learned anything? Like, is there any positive that's come out of this experience?
Yes, I think the learning experience of due diligence in purchasing the property. I learned a lot about dealing with contractors and dealing with the city in terms of the bureaucracy on their end. And at the end of the day, I think it'll make it that much better once this project is finally complete. I don't know if it made this clear. I'm still moving forward with the renovations and we're almost done with them. It's just a matter of finalizing everything. And I think the biggest learning experience I've taken from this is that initial due diligence in selecting a property, dealing with contractors throughout the renovation process and the subcontractors, and dealing with the city in terms of the proper permitting, zoning, and certificates of occupancy.
When you were going through this, did you ever consider giving up?
Oh yeah, multiple times. When I got the initial estimate for how much the renovation would be, I thought about just selling it and listed a realtor or engaged with a realtor, explored that option. When I got the initial issue with their certificate of occupancy and all the inspections I would need to get, I thought about either selling it or just taking my loss and going elsewhere. But I think one of the saving graces for me was all of the podcast episodes I've listened to on various real estate forums, where other investors had similar or even worse issues and they were able to basically power through. And I basically saw it as I can either give up and quit now or see this through and try to make it work. And that's not to say that there aren't instances where you need to cut your losses, because there certainly are. But I think the numbers for this deal still work if I'm willing to hold it long term, which was my initial plan with this property to begin with.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing just to keep in the back of your mind is that bad times don't last forever. I mean, you're going to have tough times, bad things are going to happen, but better times are always ahead. And it sounds like you're close to the better times.
Yeah. You know? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So how much time do you think it's going to take to get everything wrapped up and get this property rented out?
I'd like to hopefully within the next week or two, everything will be finalized, the windows, the plumbing inspections, the inspection with the certificate of occupancy should all be done. But, you know, don't quote me on that because with the city, anything can happen. So I'd just like to hope that in the next couple of weeks, it'll be done.
I'll keep my fingers crossed for you. It sounds like you're pretty close to the finish line. I don't think this is going to take too much longer before you get the property rented out. And this property is generating cash flow for you. I think it's always going to hurt going through an experience like this where you lost a lot of time and you lost a lot of money. But I think when you look back in 5, 10, 15 years, you're going to have made so much money on this property that it's not going to really matter. So congratulations for hanging in there, Marky. I'm glad to see that you saw this through. And I would like to thank today's sponsor for making today's episode possible. It's Chailey Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. Chailey is a nationwide lender, and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs, and she can find something customized to you for your situation. If you want to find out more or you want to set up a time to talk to Chailey personally, you can reach out to her at her website. It's ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE lendinggroup.com, NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast today. If you're not following the show, make sure you hit that follow button and you'll be notified every single Tuesday when I put out a new episode. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.